smell. Wolf moved over, hoping to sidestep the cat urine stench of crystal meth mixed with the musky scent of humans who had given up on hygiene billowing out the door. Ratchet turned his head and put his sleeve to his mouth, apparently taking the same onslaught to his senses. Jerry Wheatman's parents are pretty worried. Aren't you worried that Julie hasn't been home for days? Wolf asked. Vicky's eyes darkened.
I guess that's why she stays over there so much. Those Wheatmen sure are a nice, loving bunch of people. That family of fairies turned my girl vegetarian, you know. Pansies.
How about Bill? Wolf asked with growing impatience. Has he seen Julie lately?
I don't know.
Is he working at the station right now? Wolf, just like everyone in town, knew that Bill Mulroy was a lifelong employee of the Macquarie gas station at the end of Main Street.
Far as I know, she said.
Wolf suspected they weren't going to get anything more from this lead other than sick to their stomach. Please let us know immediately if you see or hear from either one of them. It may be normal for Julie to be gone for days, but Jerry's folks are pretty spooked. And... Wolf paused. He wanted to tell her to shape up and quit smoking the meth, that he was going to come arrest her and Bill if they kept it up, that she wasn't being a good mother to her daughter, that she needed to pull her head out of her ass, and how he remembered her as the cute girl he'd kissed in sixth grade. But Wolf had been intimately close to people on drugs, and had witnessed the effect of drugs on them, and speeches never worked. So instead, he said, "Take care, Vicky." She eyed Wolf up and down once more, her eyes turning dark again.
"Sure thing, honey. Say hi to Sarah for me, okay?"
Wolf blinked. Vicky Mulroy read his expression and looked satisfied. Then she laughed and turned back into the darkness, the screen door slapping shut. Ratchet wasted no time getting off the porch, leaping down all three of the rotted steps. As Ratchet landed on the gravel, he sucked in a breath and coughed.
"Good Lord, something's dead in that house."
"Just a steady diet of meth and alcohol," Wolf said, walking down the steps after him. "And all the fun stuff that brings." An uncomfortable silence enveloped them as they walked back to the road. It was no secret. Both men were thinking about Vicky's mention of Wolf's ex-wife. It was common knowledge around town, as juicy tidbits about people's personal lives often were in such a small population, that Sarah Wolf was a pill popper, and that she had recently completed yet another attempt at kicking the habit. In fact, Sarah Wolf would be back today from her stay at the Whispering Pines rehab facility in Vail. Since Vicky Mulroy had been aware of this fact, her words were laden with meaning. Wolf was trying to figure out what that meaning was.
"Say hi to Sarah for me."
Was that to say that this meth head, Vicky, had a recent relationship of some sort with his ex-wife? Wolf was pretty sure his Sarah hadn't ventured into trying any harder drugs than OxyContin. Wolf had seen the distant look in Sarah's eyes, dilated pupils, lethargy, aggressive language, and slurred speech. But he hadn't seen any sign of her doing any of the hard stuff, the smoke, snort, or injection kind of stuff. Maybe Vicky was just trying to say, "Worry about the drug addicts in your own life and get off my case." Wolf hoped that was what she meant. Suddenly, he was keener to see Sarah than ever. He needed to look in her eyes. He hoped it would be different this time around. Maybe the fourth time was the charm.
"Well, looks like we've got two missing kids now."
Ratchet looked back at the tiny rundown shack in the pines.
"Do you think Jerry and Julie just ran away? I know I would if I lived there. Jesus."
They reached the Ford Explorer and got in. Wolf buckled his seatbelt and stared out of the dusty windshield toward the couple of hundred square foot building where Vicky Mulroy and her husband confined themselves in a hazy vat of noxious chemicals for most of the day. The shame was that the piece of land their house stood on was a perfect place to raise a family. It was hugged on all sides by virgin forest. There was an open grass field to the south, just a few miles from town, but in the boonies, far enough so you could feel like you were really roughing it. But this place was too